not too long ago when OSU did their little thing, I seen people standing up in the restaurant that I was at. People begin to shout and say, "Woo, OSU!" I remember when somebody won the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, they came in with a $1 million dummy check, and I seen that lady just have a fit. But how many of you know that when we hear the sound that we were saved from hell's flames, hallelujah, when we hear the sound that we don't have to walk bound by the sin nature that Satan has put upon us, how many of you know that could make you want to shout, hallelujah, and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me, hallelujah. And that's one of the problems in the church. We forgot the story. Amen. It's good to hear about the success piece of the Bible. It's good to hear about all the things that we can have. You can be a great businessman because the Bible wants you to be successful. It's good to hear about you can be a good dad because the Bible tells you how to be a good parent. But how many of you know all that pales when you look at the fact that I deserve hell? Amen. When you look at the fact that there's a sin debt covering my life, when you look at the fact that I couldn't do anything to fix it, but God, in his infinite wisdom, sent his son, hallelujah, and he died on a cross and not just saved me, hallelujah. He took everybody's debt, hallelujah. Give him a hand, hallelujah. Give him a hand like you mean it, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. We, a couple testimonies. Last week, I believe it was, me and Monique were able to minister in Columbus at another church that preaches the cross. Just like us, struggling with attendance, not really a big edifice or anything like that. But I'm happy to tell you, people joined last week after they heard the word of the Lord, and they're growing and things are happening, amen. We went to Rogers Church yesterday, and we caught the tail end. It was almost embarrassing coming so late. But the day before, we was able to make it where pastor's preaching. And, you know, I've sat there and watched that church just explode, man. They are running, I think, 70. Looked like they might have had 80 in there yesterday. I mean, it was just jam-packed. And they preach an uncompromising message of the cross. And the reason why I say something like that is just to let you know people are hungry for this gospel. Amen. People want to know what thus saith the Lord. People are tired of the ploys, of the schemes. They've tried every denomination, and it leaves them empty. They've tried everything that people told them to do, and it leaves them empty. They've tried hyper-attendance of church, hyper-programs, and something on the inside just says, you know, I'm missing something. But how many of you know when you hear the truth, hallelujah, when you go somewhere and hear the simple message that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and not just to save you, oh, he saved me from my sins, but you know what? He saved me from everything. Hallelujah. It was all purchased at the cross, and we need to go back to that as a nation. Amen. And as a church nation. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray for starters. I want to ask you to bear with me today. I started preparing a message, and I felt the Lord led me to a different chapter in the Bible. And this morning, and actually driving to work, like Mike, you told me it was going to happen, the Lord took me a different direction. So I ask you to bear with me because I'm wanting to hear what he's saying. And you know what? A message may fumble. A message may not be eloquent. But how many of you know if you've got a word from the Lord, that's what counts. Amen. So what I have today is a word from the throne room. The title of this message is The precious presence of God. Hallelujah. The precious presence of God. And we rate things that are precious, and we call it rare. You know, there's a value to anything that's rare. Supply and demand is dictated by rarity. That's why sand doesn't have any value, but gold does. And how many of you know the presence of the Lord is a rare thing in this day? Amen. And if you can get the presence of the Lord, things can happen. How do you know we share the presence of the Lord in here today? How do you know driving in my car, I was just trying to hold back so many tears because I just felt the presence of the Lord all on me just coming to church today. And you know, there's things that happen in those moments, and we're going to talk about that today. And God wants us to do something as a church because we have that precious presence of God. So bear with me today. We're going to pray. Father, we come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that the speaker of the Holy Spirit is here. And we thank you, Lord, that where two or more gather in your name, you're here in the midst. Father, we thank you for true spiritual growth, Lord, not necessarily numerical, but, Father, that the quality of our Christian life is growing. Lord, we thank you for true spiritual growth, church growth in this building. Hallelujah. And, Father, we thank you for the listeners, Lord, that you've sent today. Lord, we thank you for anyone hitting a CD or hitting a website and saying, let me check this session out, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the words that come across will fall on good ground. Hallelujah. Prepared by you that the listener can be touched. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to start at chapter 18. And we're talking about the precious presence of God. The precious presence of God. Hallelujah. And this story takes off with Abraham. This is shortly, chapters anyway, after his great revelation of justification by faith. How many of you know the text we were going to start at that the Lord moved me away from? I just have to say something about it. We were going to go over in where Abraham took his son on the altar to be sacrificed. How many know that's an awesome story? And there's so many nuggets in there that I wanted to share. But one thing I'm going to share is that, you know, that place, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And we've butchered that in these days, and we've made it the success piece, the how to do and how to become. But how many of you know when it says God will provide, he's talking about a lamb. Hallelujah. God's going to provide your justification. Amen. God's going to provide your sanctification. And let's not get it twisted, church. The paramount thing to know in this day is that I'm justified through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. So Abraham gets that beautiful revelation of justification by faith in chapters before. And Abraham began to just live, and all of a sudden he runs into the presence of the Lord. And we're going to look at what happens. It says in verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. These three men, I believe, were the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Some say it was two angels and Jesus Christ. But one thing we do know, God was present. Amen. Jesus Christ was there. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, when you read, you'll see the word the angel of the Lord. And we get that misconstrued. The angel of the Lord in the Hebrew just means the messenger from God. How many of you know Jesus Christ was the Word before he was incarnated? Amen. So when Jesus would appear to men, he was called the angel of the Lord, the messenger from heaven. How many know Jesus comes with a message every time? When Jesus shows up, I remember as a little boy, I seen his face. I was 8 or 9 years old, and I looked up. We had turmoil going on in our home. Somebody needs to hear this. And I opened my eyes, and I just seen his face, and I squeezed my eyes real tight, like, wow. And I opened back up, and he was just smiling. But how many of you know when his presence showed up, he comes with a message, it's going to be okay. Amen. When he comes, he's coming to tell you it's going to be all right. He's not just showing up like we see in the movies, like he's a hippie, you know, like the Easy Rider guy on the cigarette papers. No, this guy, Jesus Christ, comes with a message. Hallelujah. He's the messenger. Hallelujah. But it said that he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and he saw the three men at the door, and he bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray, from your servant. And the Lord showed me something in this. When the presence of the Lord comes, you know what? I don't see how you can properly deal with the presence of the Lord if you don't understand the cross. I don't really see how you can. You know why? Because you don't understand how precious this thing is. If you're not abiding at the cross, you don't even understand the sound of him coming. And you're going to see as we go farther in here, Abraham knew about Jesus. How many of you know the Bible says that Abraham's seen my day, Jesus said. Abraham already had a revelation that Jesus was coming. Amen. He didn't know necessarily what it was going to look like, exactly who his mother was going to be, but he knew one day God was not going to leave man stranded on this earth, bound and strapped by a sin nature, but one day deliverance was coming through a Messiah. And it says that he said, don't leave. And I began to hear us singing and having our worship services. And you know, there's something in this. When the presence of the Lord comes, we ought not rush the presence of the Lord. Amen. And there's an attitude of gratitude in this. Amen. That says, Lord, don't leave until I get it. How many of you know the saints we hear about back in the day that they said they would hold the altar by the horns and they wouldn't leave rooms until they got their breakthrough? Amen. How many know the body of Christ needs that today? Amen. This is what he said. God, you're not leaving. I need this. Amen. And some of you listening to me right now are going through some things. Some of you listening right now, the children might be bound by drugs. Some of you listening right now might be about to lose homes, about to lose businesses. Some of you listening right now may have ailments in your body. How many of you know we can go to the Lord? We can say, don't leave until you touch me. Amen. How many of you know he will respond? Hallelujah. He will respond. But he said, don't leave. He said, oh, don't leave until you found favor. Verse 4. In a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. He said, what does that mean? Did they need water? No. Did they need their feet washed? No. But you know what it was? It was an element of humility. I'm so sick and tired of the churches telling us to demand things from God. I was taught that crap. I was taught that you demand out of the spirit realm. God, I demand $100. God, I demand this. You know what? We ain't demanding nothing from God. We're going to wash his feet, amen? We're going to give him some water, amen? That's what we're going to do. Why? Because he owes us nothing. But we owe him everything, amen? We were bought with blood more precious than silver and gold. Hallelujah. And the body of Christ has to return back. And how can you have this attitude if you don't understand the cross? If you take the modern day theological attitude that's on the horizon, there's no way you would wash his feet. There's no way. You know what you would do? You would say, hey, we've got him in here. Now let's start demanding. Kind of like occupying Wall Street, amen? You can't demand nothing from God. You can't demand nothing from God. God's going to give liberally to who he will, amen? And who gets it? Those of us that are banked at the cross. Those of us that have our faith exclusively in what he did. Because you know what's tied up in the cross is what we started the message about. I don't deserve none of it. Do you have to be an ex-crackhead like me? No. But you know what? You're an ex-liar. You're an ex-drunk. You're an ex-deceiver. You're an ex-arrogant person. And how many of you know all of those go to hell? Amen. All of them go to hell. So I don't care from the Pope to T.D. Jakes down to the bum on the street. We need Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. And the modern day idea is that once you got it, now you're somebody, buddy. Stick your spiritual chest. I was taught that way. And you know what? It feels good while you're going through it because it strokes some things inside of your heart, make you feel like, man, I'm on track. But how many of you know when that bill doesn't get paid that you thought would? How many of you know when the wife leaves you anyway? How many of you know when the car breaks down and you still can't get it fixed? How many of you start scratching your head? Maybe I should have washed his feet when he came into my room. Amen. Maybe when the presence of the Lord came in, instead of getting puffy, I should have laid down prostrate and said, Lord, do something before you leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, which will comfort your heart. After that you shall pass on. And therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, do so as you have said. How many know when you are abiding at the cross of Jesus Christ, when the presence of the Lord comes in, you want to do everything you can to comfort God. There's a term where you say, bless the Lord. There's a song that says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. You know, he blesses us so much. How about we bless him? Amen. How about we give him the props he's due? I don't care if Pastor don't show up for church this Sunday. You know what? God is still good. Amen. I don't care if I didn't get the promotion on the job. Guess what? God is still good. I don't care if people didn't show up that said they would 2-3 weeks ago. God is still good. Amen. The cross is still the only way. The blood of Jesus is the only hope for mankind. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 morsels of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. Stop right there. I bless when I look this up. Oh, my God. When Abraham grabbed the calf, once again, these men weren't hungry. This was all symbolic, amen? When Abraham grabbed the calf, how many know blood's involved, amen? How many know you can't prepare calf and dress that thing without killing it? How many know that goes directly back to Adam and Eve? He didn't have the law. He didn't have Moses' writings, but how many know it was passed down from generation to generation? Surely they were told that God killed a lamb and covered their sins with it. Amen. Surely they were taught that there were 2 sacrifices, Cain and Abel's. Cain brought brought rhubarbs and barley, but Abel brought blood, and it was pleasing to God. Amen. How many of you know that surely they were taught that? And when the presence of the Lord came to his house, how many of you know he said, let's get some blood on this. Amen. How many of you know he said, I'm running to the cross. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a preacher in here, if you're a would-be preacher, if you're a witnesser to your neighbors, give them the cross. Hallelujah. If you're listening to this CD, and I'm telling you, give them the cross. Hallelujah. If you're supposed to be a man of God, if you're not preaching the cross, you need to do it quickly. Hallelujah. Quickly. He quickly ran. Oh, God, we've got to keep him in here. Oh, God, we don't want him to leave, Sarah. Quickly, go make something. I know sometimes we have guests over, and I don't treat you like your God. You might get a pizza or something. But I will tell Monique, quickly, go to the store. We may need some drink around here. We may need some, you know, something to eat. You know, what do you guys got a taste for? And you know, they were frantic. We've got the presence of the Lord here. What are we going to do? And he said, quickly, go, let's cut some animals. Amen. Let's get some blood on this. How many of you know today God still moves through the blood? Man will invent many ways, and we've got another confirmation of the same message. God moves through blood. I don't care how beautiful your edifice looks. I don't care how beautiful your steeple is. I don't care how the prayer that you're giving, with all the shenanigans, if you don't have the cross in it, he's not hearing it. Hallelujah. He's not hearing it. Give God a hand. Hallelujah. He's not hearing it. God moves through one thing, the blood. If he did it differently, he would be cursing himself. God is too perfect to set one standard and let there be two. He's much too perfect, much too wonderful. Amen. God will not be mocked or deceived. But you know what? Man can be. Man can be, and man is right now. And man will get the presence of the Lord. You can, and I'm not just dogging churches, because it actually goes to our personal walk. I mean, we only do this, what, once a week, sometimes some of us twice, for, what, 2 hours? Usually when I preach, I try to get out as fast as I can. But, you know, when you go home, you've got to have that household for hours. How many know the same presence of the Lord should be abiding in that home? I know sometimes in the car, oh, my God, I think I like it because nobody else is in there. Amen. And I can say, Lord, don't move. And then I pull in front of the job, and I got to get right a little bit before they write me up again. But I'm here to tell you, when the presence of the Lord is there, treasure it, amen, treasure it. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do as a church today to honor his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 8 again, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them and stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. We're going to skip down to 16. Verse 9 through 15 is a part about Sarah, and you'll have to bear with me because the Lord just dropped this on me. But 9 through 15 is Sarah laughing at the promise, amen. And, you know, there's a whole message in that. You know, God comes and he sometimes even in his presence, he'll tell you what he's going to do, and we don't believe him, amen. But there's still a good piece to it, because even though she laughed, how many know the promise still came to pass? Amen. You can't stop God when you're in his presence. He knows you're fallible. He knows this is human, this human part. Amen. He's not asking us, and that's part of the deceit that's come in this world, is that they tell you once you get a piece of God, now you can do it. Now you try a little bit harder. It's not about trying harder. Once you've got him, he understands. He will change you. Oh, he's going to change you. In fact, let's get it clear. The evidence that he's in your life is a changed life. But it never gets to a point to where you can say you're flawless. Because once he fixes one thing, there's another one. Amen? Then when he fixes that, there's another one. He knows how messed up we are. That's why you can't afford to not be in his presence. That's why we can't afford to waste it, those sessions when he's here. You know what? If I'm ever up to preach and God starts showing up mightily in a song, brother, if you're officiating, if it's pastor, if it's somebody else, stop me and just say, brother, we're going to stick with this. Amen? Why? Because if he's moving in that, that's where we need to be. Amen? Hallelujah. But going down to verse 16, it says, and the men, hallelujah, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on their way. How many of you know God was on a mission? There's things he's got to do, big people he's got to see. Amen. He's got who's the guy that just got killed? Gaddafi. He's got a Gaddafi to go chase down. Amen. But God was on a mission, and I think it's amazing that he thought enough of Abraham to even visit him. Amen. How many know God's got so many things he's doing, so many people he's touching, but he thinks enough of us to drop his presence through our praise team, no matter what the song or the key or the notes. He thinks enough of you. Even though you just might have got angry and told somebody off, or he thinks enough to show up in your car, in your automobile. Oh, my God, that gets beside me. Oh, it'll make you cry right now. Wow. He's got things to do. Hallelujah. But let's keep going. In verse 17, it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram that which I will do? My goodness. You know what the Bible says in John, I believe it's 10, that we're the friend of God. You know, Emerson is my best friend, and I can share secrets with this man that I won't share with maybe my brother. Something about a friendship, you know, it's just different. Amen? How many of you know God calls us his friend, and he will reveal secrets to you? Amen? He will reveal secrets. And how many of you know, I believe 90% of that is talking about this. But how many know he'll give you a word? Hallelujah. He'll tell you what's going on. He'll show you. He'll reveal. You can't raise your kids properly without knowing something. It's having some spiritual insight. You can't be on these crackerjack jobs nowadays without having some insight on what's going on next. You can't run your household properly without, Lord, show me. Please tell me. What's the secret? What's going on? Show me what's behind the scene. Hallelujah. And he said, shall we go on and show him what we're going to do on this earth? Verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Let me stop right there. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified exclusively, you qualify for this, amen? But not only do you believe it, you're upholding it. Hallelujah. There's a big difference, amen? There's a huge difference. It's one thing to believe the cross, but how many are willing to put your neck on the line for the cross, amen? It's one thing to know that Jesus not only died for my sin, but also my sin nature. But how many of you are willing to stand up in a conversation, amen, when people are around you talking against it, and you say, I got to set the record straight. You know, like our awesome pastor had did in the midst of a denomination that held his family out there to just die and really could care less whether or not they had the money to sustain themselves. How many of you are willing to stand up for something like that? And you know, Abraham was. He said, I know he'll command his family. I know he'll hold this thing up. I know he'll hold the sacrificial system together. If that's you, check this out, the second half of 19. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's the way, amen, the sacrificial system, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Stop right there. I know everybody here knows we're called to Springfield, Ohio. Even surrounding, we got Troy here, we've got Columbus, I'm sure there's Enon, there's other places. I want to share something with you. God knows exactly how many are going to miss this boat. God knows exactly who's not. People are crying. There's some kids that are crying because their parents are beating them. There's some people that are crying because they want off of drugs, but they just don't know. They haven't heard the right message hit their ear gates yet. There's people in Springfield, Ohio that are, because I'm not nobody special. If I knew something was wrong with my religious experience, there's 28 other people on this block that feel the same way. And God hears their cry, church. He hears them. And if your faith is at the cross, God will show you, amen? And I'm going to show you that the based on the presence of God, we can intercede and we can stop, we can bring them to a saving knowledge, amen? Check this out. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, we read that in 21, right? No, 21. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, and whether in which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abram drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Stop right there. My son Elijah, I can see it coming. That boy can work me right now just with a little tear. And I want so bad to strangle him, but I'll give him the very thing that's ticking me off. Because he knows how to stroke his dad. Amen. Now, I'm going to use human terms, but this is holy. This isn't quite the way I'm saying it, but you can get the picture. Amen. What Abraham's going to do is literally woo God into his friend, amen, into sparing some people, amen. This is beautiful. And it's really the heart of the intercessor. It's the heart of an intercessory prayer warrior. It's the heart of, if you call yourself a prophet and you're listening to me, do you have the friendship of God, amen? Because ain't nobody seeing no secrets if you don't even respect his royalty, amen. But you don't have to be a prophet to touch the hand of God. Hallelujah. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous who are therein? Verse 25, read that too, because that gets the point I'm saying. That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be as far from you. Shall not the judge of all earth do right? What is he doing with God right there? He's taking him out of his character and out of his nature. And you know, sometimes people condemn us that preach the cross by saying, we say you don't got to read the Bible, you don't have to pray. Oh, no, you need to. Prayer and reading the Bible helps you deal with the sin nature. Keeping your faith focus on the cross helps you deal with your sin nature. But how many of you know, if you don't know the word, you can't even take God to who he is? How do you say, far be it from you, God, if you don't even know who God is? Amen? So, yeah, know this word. Hallelujah. And when we go to pray, we tell him, God, it's not your will that any perish, but that all come to repentance, to a saving knowledge. God, you're not willing to let those little babies, when you said, suffer the children to come unto me. Amen. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in. He said in his word, ask of me the heathen and see if I will not give them to you for an inheritance. God's a God that wants to have an inheritance of people. We've got to cry out, church. We've got his presence. Amen. Let's take him. Let's be that child that he loves. He's our friend and he's our dad. Hallelujah. What verse am I at? Glory to God. 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. See, when you do this type of prayer, it's not cocky. Amen. This is holy. God wants, we know we're just mere ashes. Amen. Lord, I know this is all because of that calf we just cut. I understand the revelation. Amen. When I started praying to you, I took you to the blood. I came because of the blood in your presence. But now that I'm in your presence, Lord, I know I'm just this mere man. But God, your nature is that to where you won't let people just die. You don't want people to just go to hell and miss this cross, Lord. You're not a God to drop such an awesome revelation in this land and allow these people that I set beside and work beside to just miss it. God, do something. And you know, church, we can try to convince people all we want. Sometimes I know my brother, I'm going to put you on Front Street, Mike will get frustrated. You try to get Mike to tell somebody about the cross, he give him two shots. After the second shot, brother, he's done. And I'm exaggerating. But I'm going to tell you something. It's frustrating because the Holy Spirit has to be activated. Amen. If he hasn't gone before you, amen, it's a waste of time. That's why he knew. I've got to ask God. God is the one controlling this thing. Hallelujah. What verse we at, church? 28. Peradventure, there shall lack five of the 50. Boy, that's good. He's a good negotiator, man. Will you destroy all the cities for lack of five? And have said, I have 40 and five and will not destroy it? And he spoke unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 and five, 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry with me, because I'm going to come to you one more time, God. I sense humility in this. I sense awe of who God is, but I also sense a yearning to save his people. Amen. How many of you want to see Springfield set free? Amen. How many of you know, what's the population in this town? 80,000, 90,000. I know God will, and I'm not saying everybody's going to hell. We know better than that. But God wants some people understanding the cross. Amen. Somebody's got to agree with me. It ain't just for us four no more. Amen. God wants some people to understand his gospel, and he can only send them. Hallelujah. Verse 30. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry with me, but I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 20's sake. Church, we've got power. Hallelujah. We can change. We can move the hand of God. And the Lord was showing me something driving up here. How many of you know the scripture in the beginning of the New Testament, the beginning of Matthew's gospel, talks about the spirit of Elijah turning. No, it's actually in the end of the Old Testament, Malachi. It talks about in the last days that God was going to bring the spirit of Elijah and he would turn the hearts of the fathers back to their sons. Amen. And that was one of the reasons why I named my son Elijah. I always liked that passage. But I looked up that word Elijah. Remember, they thought Jesus was Elijah because they didn't understand. It was the spirit of Elijah. Amen. Elijah wasn't coming back. It was the spirit of Elijah. But Elijah is a heart turner. Hallelujah. How many of you know this last end time generation, you guys, me, amen, we have the ability to turn some things, amen. How many want to turn something around? Hallelujah. We are the turners of this generation of turners. Hallelujah. We can turn the hearts, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a witnesser, whether you're just a good neighbor, whether whatever you are, you have the ability to turn the hearts. Hallelujah. Because it starts by turning God's heart, because he wants to be turned back to his children. Hallelujah. And he's seen that here. Hallelujah. Verse 31, I got smart. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure, there should be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there. I hope I made my point. I think the Holy Spirit helped me somewhat. The point I'm trying to make is the precious presence of God. First of all, we understand because of the cross of Jesus Christ that it is precious. Amen. Only if you live and breathe and reign at the cross, can you really understand how awesome this plan is? Otherwise, it's just a story. Otherwise, it's just something you hear on Easter and Christmas, something you just do. It's a tradition. But how many know when you live and know that I didn't deserve none of this, but God has thought so much of me to save me, you begin to appreciate that he's come over to hang out with me. Amen. And when he does that, or when you choose to allow it, because he inhabits the praises of people. All we got to do is praise him. Amen. He shows up every time. What do we do? Well, there's lots of things you can do. You can get yourself what you need. But I sense an urgency in the spirit to begin to intercede. Amen. To begin to cry out. And some of us are doing it. Praise the Lord. And all of us should be doing it. I'm preaching to myself. But we got to cry out, church, for this land, for this nation. You know, this next election, we know how important it is. But I'm going to tell you something more important than the election is the election of the Spirit. Amen. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow the demonic false doctrine to overtake this area where we're sitting? Or are we going to take it? Amen. Or are we going to go to God and say, God, are you going to really allow this? Are you really going to allow this? You know, show me. Who do I talk to? Because he'll show you secrets. Amen. Why? Because we're his friends. If everybody stands up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening to me too, church. I'm going to have a few prayers. And at the end, we're going to all come up and we're going to intercede even today. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're under the sound of my voice and something was said, and you may even be sitting at home listening by a CD, or you may have tuned in maybe by even internet, I still want you to follow these directions. If something's said today, be it about the presence of the Lord, be it about the heightened awareness of the cross of Jesus Christ for everything, be it about souls in our family, in our neighborhoods, in our streets, and you sense the Holy Spirit touching you. I'm not bringing you down to expose you and all this, because really I think everybody could be some form or fashion involved in this. But just as a sign to the Lord that I'm yielding to what I know the Holy Spirit has dropped today, just give me a wave of your hand. Hallelujah. I see the hands. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to say this prayer corporately. Say this after me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you right now to bring your presence and continue to prick my heart. I respect you so much, Lord. Those times when I didn't deserve it, maybe even after I've even sinned, you've consistently showed up at my doorstep in the aisleway, and I've seen you clear. But I repent for those times I didn't feed you. I didn't wash your feet properly. I didn't hold you there until I got what I needed. But I thank you right now that you never turn away repentance. I'm reinstated back where I should be. And I thank you, Lord. Continue to touch me. Continue to show me secrets. And I will follow. And I intercede for this land. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If everyone come down to the front, I just want to have a corporate prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. You guys aren't too tired, are you?